Well, Lord, we just thank you and praise you, Father, that we're not going to have any kind of technical issues out of our equipment tonight. Everybody's going to be hearing everybody just correctly. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we bind up all the attacks of the enemy against this fellowship, that no attacks of theirs will be fruitful in Jesus' name. Father, we just praise you and glorify you. Thank you for all that you're going to accomplish tonight in this fellowship that we have, this little fellowship that we have. Lord, thank you for the love you place in our hearts for each other. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom and discernment tonight for everybody. Thank you, Lord, for filling us all up with your Holy Spirit too, Lord. And we thank you and praise you for all that you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, has anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Judy, you got a song? Barbara is
I
connecting to
can
the
sure get one.
audio.
Did you have something special in mind?
I got what? Okay. Anybody got
I
a
said I
prayer
don't. Did
request?
you have something in mind?
No, not really. I wouldn't. Anything gospel blues would be fine. All right. I will tell you this. How many of you saw that the Prime Minister of England has been taken out? Yeah, Starmer, he's been caught embezzling money and all kinds of things. He's a Muslim. He's a homosexual, and he's also Democrat, deep state, I should say. So, not that any of that matters, but it just goes to show you when you. No, he wasn't killed. No, he was just taken out. He throwed a fit in Parliament the other day, and they had to escort him out. And then they went to looking at his records and stuff and found that he had been embezzling a lot of money through different ways, you know how they do. And so he's history. It looks like anyway, unless he comes up with a miracle, and I don't believe he will. Lord, we just thank you for replacing this man with somebody with a lot more integrity and honesty. And Lord, it looks like that it looks like that Nigel Farage may even get in there this time if they have an election. And that would be awesome, I think. I think he's got good integrity, and he's a patriot of his country. And Lord, we thank you for giving him another shot at it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Ben.
I want to pray that for my country as well.
Okay.
Lord, I just pray and I rebuke all the communism, all the deception, all the destruction that my current government is doing, all this smoke and mirrors and all the cloak and dagger, Father. Lord, Father God, I just pray that we get a patriot and someone that wants to do things for the Canadian people and not worry about other nations and not worry about other countries. Lord Father God, I rebuke all these works of the globalist empire that they're trying to build. Lord Father God, I just pray that we have a common sense candidate for our next prime minister and that all the lies that Carney is saying and all the lies that he's doing is exposed and that whether or not it's going to be an early election or not, or the next election that comes, Father, that all these things will come to pass, and that just a true Canadian that wants good for Canada and good just all around, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all the countries across the world. In Jesus' name, get rid of the communists and the socialists and the deep staters, Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Looks like it's going to happen in France. Looks like it's going to happen in Germany, and other countries too. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, the other, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
And it's okay. The other day, I was watching a bit of YouTube, and I was watching it about the man that was assassinated, Charlie Clark, or Kirk, sorry. And listening to him debate some of the debates in the universities and I just, you look back on some of the past, like in the 70s or 60s, they didn't really speak that emboldened about their way of life. I've noticed that through my lifetime, the woke side has become so emboldened with the activeness of being so brave to speak what they are. There was a time where they would be silent, and some of us who are of that age know what I'm talking about, and they don't seem to. So this is I've just given some comments here as to how to pray this down. I understand that we're supposed to be emboldened also, but not quite in the same way. And when I was watching this debate, he was even saying, I'm not trying to profess any sort of religion or Christianity. He was trying to talk at their level to be more common sense, This was one of his earlier debates. And it just seemed so amazing that some of these young kids who were not for him did actually kind of have a means of quieting down and saying, okay, thank you for letting me speak, the way a debate should go. But a lot of them were just there to show a picture of themselves or to be some sort of means of making themselves important or feel important or something. And kind of like a more of a high school kind of attitude rather than college or university, and which seemed weird. Anyway, that's the boldness of these people, and I believe this emboldenment came from the governments, because they were silenced before, it was illegal even here in Canada, some of the things they now have legal, and it's like this. It's been 45 years on some of these things that have been passed, So the people who are in their 20s, are just exposed to this constantly throughout their whole lives. And that they don't have any means of knowing what it used to be like, at least when people were more stable. And like I said before, there used to be a gentleman's code of conduct and a lady's code of conduct. And it was taken into the government house, the various governments from all the different countries, they would even have a House of Lords in England and stuff. And there was a, in the 1800s, I believe you you wouldn't want to be woke, you know, and it just wasn't discussed or shown at any time. So, and of course, we see quite a bit of that. A young person from my time, or maybe just a little bit before my time, would never admit to such things as the things that I've seen people admit to, you know, let alone getting these operations they want to get. So I just pray, Lord, that you would bring some common sense back to people, that I realized that even under legalism, people were better. Legalism of the Bible, they were better. Of the old covenant, even. And I not that I would want people to be legalistic, but under grace. So, Father God, please show some sort of means to get the governments, the police, and the justice system to really look deeply into this, because it's in your word, Father. It's in Romans 13 on what a government's supposed to do. I think it's in 1 Peter chapter 2 on how a government is supposed to react, especially to people who are professing to be Christian in government. And Lord, I know that there are different sects of Christianity, but I don't think they're far off on wokeness, even though they might be carnal or under the law, and even some that might even be there who are strictly under your grace and mercy. And I pray, Father, that it would be more evident and you would have this come to pass. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, I can tell you, back when I was growing up, people who had the kind of things that you're talking about, you never knew about it. They were closet. They were in the closet. There were no homosexuals. There were even the high school girls that messed up and got pregnant. You didn't know about it. They left. And they would hide it, as they should. And but now you've got an open society, as they call it, that any kind of form of perversion or sin is okay nowadays. You know what the lack of that is? That's the lack of understanding what the Bible says. Okay, Pat, go ahead. Did you want to reply, Andrew? I saw you going for it.
I just want to maybe even pray a bit about that, that the study of spirits should be taught more in the churches.
Yep.
I've been through five of these denominations, and I believe the word for it, the fancy word for it, is eschatology. And there's quite a bit that you have to study. There's even some in the Old Testament that that is a sense of this eschatology. So, Father God, I pray that those who have the capability of teaching the spirit of the word and to teach how a witness is by the spirit, the water and the blood, these three spiritual concepts, Father, as it says in your 1 John chapter 5, Father, that you would have a good look at this and maybe collate these things, Father, as they would teach with the chapter 5 of Galatia. So the two fives go together. And on the fruits of the flesh spirit and the fruits of God's spirit, your spirit, Father God. And I pray, Father, that there's a huge need for this, because they start calling everything the spirit nowadays, and everything is the spirit, but some of it is dark and some of it is light. And Father God, I bear witness to the warning in Isaiah 5 and 20 when they start calling good evil and evil good, Father, and light darkness and darkness light and bitter sweet and sweet bitter. Father God, it is happening, and we would ask, Father, that the people be critiqued on this who can be critiqued, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Or just more common sense, Father. Amen.
Yeah, well, it should show you, as after Charlie Kirk was shot, the moral absence of good morals in people, because they were absolutely brutal to his family. And that's not acceptable. Okay, Patrick.
So, Ben, did you have something that you wanted to say? You had your hand up.
Oh, that's right. I was going to get him, but I forgot him. Thank you, Patrick. You have.
Thanks, Pat. Not necessarily a comment on what my dad was saying. I was going to ask for prayer, but just to
Well, go
kind of.
ahead.
Okay, well, I'll do both. I'll make a comment after. It's prayer
You're not
for
transgender, are you?
No.
Okay. Praise God. I thought we were fixing to have one here. Go ahead, Ben. I'm messing with you,
What's
brother.
going on here?
I'm
basically,
sorry.
no, it's all good. It's all jokes. I gotta make a little bit of a confession. I test drove a truck the other day, and I was really contemplating getting it. And God doesn't want me to use his money to buy that stuff. And this isn't the first time that this temptation has come. I've been fighting that for a while, and teetering, tottering, and getting one. I love my Jeep, but well, it's a nice truck. And so I was wondering if we could all come into an agreement in prayer that I only pursue what he wants me to do with the money that he's given me throughout my life. I have I have money, I'll say that. I'm just not sure what to do with it. I know if I just throw it around willy-nilly to anybody that begs for it or asks for it, they'll end up spending it on things that they shouldn't, that shouldn't be bringing that, that won't bring them to the Lord. And I think I've brought it up with you once or twice, Michael, and I'm still a little confused as to what to do with it, because I know I'm not supposed to store up treasures on earth. This wilderness teaching that David is doing recently, it's really putting me, I wouldn't say it's convicting me, but it's making me really think about it, and all that. So I'm asking for prayer for that, to just really be comfortable in walking and going towards this wilderness walk, and to give and receive rather than buy and sell, and to be a giver and to love to give. Does anyone want to pray for me
Yeah,
for
I'll
that?
pray for you. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Father God, I lift up men to you. Lord, you know his heart. He wants to do what you want him to do. And I ask, Lord, that from this point on, that if there's a need anywhere that he can help someone with, Lord, that you would place it in his heart in such a way that he would know exactly who to give it to and how much to give him, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that even as he studies the Word of God, he'll see things that will open up to him to where he can help people. Because you want us, you said, just like the lady that went up there and gave her last mite up there, but she was blessed, Lord of God, she was blessed. And that we would be blessed also, Lord, in that respect. When you store up in heaven, you will be taken care of down here. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Father, that Benjamin is going to reap the benefits of sowing immediately. And I praise you, Father, for giving him words of wisdom in Jesus' name. Give him discernment too, Lord. Great and wonderful discernment to understand that. Whatever he gives his money to, it's like giving to the Lord. And I praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Okay, anybody else want to pray for him? Well, that's done. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anything else, Ben?
Well, to give a little comment on what my dad was saying, just from my own experience from it all, I believe I was sort of in middle school when this sort of wokeism really started to be like labeled as woke and started to really flourish. And it was really not necessarily, well, I'll say pushed in the elementary school side with labels like, oh, don't be a bully, stop racism, stop sexism, and which are all we all agree with, obviously, but like with how we see where it's at now, those seeds were kind of sown to someone in the seventh grade. And obviously, I'm not a racist, I'm not a bully, and I'm not a sexist, but people took it to the next level and kept on piling on a thing here and a thing there. And it's like, oh, you don't believe in gay marriage, you're a homophobe. It's like, no, I'm not afraid of you. And it's just, I think I remember watching a video. It's just like, the left tends to diagnose a problem with you when you have an opinion that differs from them. And that's a curse. And so, obviously, you need, as a Christian, you need to rebuke that because there's no curse under us. We're not homophobes. We're not sexists. We just believe in the word of God because his word is life. And it's going to be the word of life that's going to be spoken against the most because of this wokeness. And so, yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Patrick.
So I was, let's see, well, confession first. The Lord showed me, I've been, battling with, I guess, fears, intimidation, that sort of thing. But the Lord showed me the other day that that was not fear that I was battling. It was that it was pride. And it was there was a fear associated with it. It was a fear of not being, I guess, not fulfilling, not obeying God's word. I'm not completely through with the whole process, but let me just say this. It boiled down to pride. It wasn't. It was a feeling of it was based upon me somehow. So anyway, I confessed it, cast it down, and trusting the Lord to cleanse me. He has cleansed me through my confession, through my trusting in Him, His Word, and I'll shake it out and see how that goes, see where I'm going with that. One of the things that came to me as a result of this Kirk assassination has certainly stirred the pot on both sides of the political, gamut type thing. And I was watching, I don't know, it was a TikTok or something. On the Telegram, you get you follow certain stories and whatever, and one story will lead to the next and one to the next, et cetera. And there was a girl that was given about 5 or 6 minute, speech. Not a speech, but she was pouring out her heart type thing. Now, this girl, from an outward appearance, she had tattoos all the way up to here. Probably her arms were tattooed. She had piercings, and I'm going to say it's not somebody that I would be, I'm not going to say comfortable with. I'm going to say it's, a person that is a little bit out of my mainstream, or what, however you want to say it, not in my frequency spectrum. She was gay, but she was really expressing her heart and her horror for what had happened to Charlie Kirk. Not only that, but the people, I'm going to say, on the political left that had responded in such a hateful and vindictive, hatred, just a spirit of, happiness that this had happened, and she was totally repelled by that. And you could tell that she was broken. Her she was broken, and she about halfway through, she said, "I've never been a person that goes to church, and most of the people that are in church, hate me, or but I'm certain I'm starting to really think about the existence of God and trying to sort it out." And as I was last listening to that, I was feeling convicted for, I don't know, maybe prejudging or pre-supposing, or maybe this unacceptance, or something, that wanted me to repel, or wanted me to turn away and walk the other way. Yet, and I was convicted by that in my own heart when I was seeing this person as she was talking, because I could tell that she was broken. She was confused. And so I guess what I'm thinking is that I have to be above that. I have to express and exhibit and carry the love of God in me, that accepts a person. And, I mean, I don't know that I'm not that, but I'm just, I'm kind of just spitting things out here. But I have to go back to my own experience when I was converted. And I was obviously I was drawn to Christ. I was drawn to the Lord and His life, and more and more, the more I read, the more I thought, as time went on, I was drawn to Jesus. And I was drawn because of that no condemnation position and stance that he took with people. And I was drawn to him, and after I I've told the story many times, that when I came upon that verse and I realized, the light hit me that who Jesus was, and I fell out of bed and prayed and asked the Lord to take me to the Father. And as a result of that, the total crashing, crushing, pushing desire and craving to know was released, and I entered into peace. But I still did not know what sin was. And I know that that goes contrary to theological teaching, especially in the the Baptist realm. But I wasn't aware of it. I wasn't aware of it. I wasn't aware of it in me. It took the Lord a time of taking me through the church, being baptized, and going through the reading and being in that contained environment. And that's where I started to discover what sin was, and that it was in me. And that's when the Lord started, releasing me, and I started to find ways of doing this. Well, the point being, I know that the pastor, he brought it up to the congregation, I guess, after our first meeting with the church, or we had come forward in a meeting, and that kind of started the whole process. And as a result of that, in our continuing to inquire and ask questions and come back and agree to have meet with the pastor and learn some things, etc., the pastor counseled his church, or the church, one day, saying, basically, do not say anything about their long hair, the way they dress, and all of those things. Do not say anything about any of that. And God bless them, they didn't. It was a truly time of enlightening in a no condemnation experience. And I feel like we if somebody would have came up to me in those very sensitive days. I quite frankly, I don't know what I would have done, but if they would have come up with, to me and read me the, the riot act, you can't do this and you can't do that, and you're gonna, what is this? We, yeah, I'm not sure where that would have taken me. I can almost guarantee that I wouldn't have accepted it. But there was a very loving and accepting environment that allowed me to continue seeking God and to discover and allow the Spirit to reveal these things unto me. Consequently, I believe that we're going into a world where, Mike, as Michael said, the last generation, things were a certain way, was a certain social standard, etc. And that is true. And I might add that it was my generation of the 60s and 70s that obliterated that standard and allowed in the roots of these perversions that we're seeing of today. It was my generation's allowing and acceptance of this that allowed it to spring and grow into what it is now. And so I guess my, there was there's a speaker that wrote a book a while back, and he made a statement. It will take a higher level of thinking to solve the problems our current level of thinking created. And I look back on seeing the immense confusion and devastation and pain and generation building upon generation of trouble and problem and people, and I just say see that it is going to take a higher level of Christianity to solve the issues, the societal issues that our current level allowed. I'm gonna just say it that way. And so I guess, I come back to this, this thing that, God, we need you to do something in us, in me, that will be able to address the current issues in your power and expect your results. And I just, I feel like we are there in this time. That's where we are at in society. The issues that we are facing are way, way too complicated and too devastating for us to, they are not going to be addressed by mental debating. I'm not saying that debating is wrong. It certainly allows people to think both sides. or at least to be presented with both sides of a particular argument. But it's going to require, there was another statement by another man that I respected as a teacher as well. And he made a statement that said that a man's morality dictates his theology. In other words, what, well, a man's sense of rightness and wrongness and his adherence to it, adherence to the right, dictates his theology. If you're a person that believes that hatred is acceptable, you're going to create a theology that allows you to your God to accept that type of thinking. So I think that where I'm going with this is that the girl that I was referring to, that I was listening to, she didn't necessarily need somebody to come in and explain to her what's right and wrong. She needed to experience the reality of a loving God, a powerful, all-powerful, supreme, sovereign God that loves her, and a demonstration of such. And I think of, Paul when he said, and believe me, I'm not talking about mushy sentimental, sentimentalism or whatever it would be, and a nice hug here, and all that. I mean, that's nice and acceptable. I'm talking about becoming aware that God is real and God has the ability to provide you everything you need in life. Including the removal of all guilt and sin, and provide you peace and security and life with him. And I think, there's a Paul, when he spoke to the Corinthians, of course, he said, I'm probably murdering this and trying to remember what it is. I decided not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. And he also said that around that same verse, he said that I came not preaching you to you with enticing words of wisdom, but in demonstration of power, or that demonstration of the reality of God. So I think, I'm feeling that this is what has to happen to break through and address and to meet the need of our culture in this time, in this, the Bible says that there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. They, because of their hearts are so darkened, they, whatever is happening in their mind, they're not going to accept it. You're not going to be able to logically debate those people when they are in that type of position, because their heart is so has so condemned them that they will not accept logic. And that time is upon us. So anyway, I guess I'm through ranting, And I'll let it go at that.
Okay, Joe's got a prayer request. I thought we'd stop just a minute and pray for him. I'm going to read what he says there. Prayer request, my sister-in-law, Frida, spent some time on the UBM website. She requested a meeting. She has questions. Pray for wisdom, please, and also pray for my son. I told him about the good news a few months ago. He was eager to be baptized. After two dreams the Lord gave him, I heard nothing from him. He was quiet for a few months. I'm going to see him this weekend, Lord willing. He asked for wisdom. Well, Lord, we lift up Joe for you. And Lord, this weekend when he goes to see his sister, in-law, and his son, Lord, that you would give him supernatural wisdom to say the words that would bring them into the kingdom in a great and wonderful way, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for giving him wisdom in the word, also for the questions that they might have, that he would have the right answers for them, that they would understand. And I thank you for discernment also, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that he's also going to have great and wonderful wisdom for his son also that may have some questions, please, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name, for the wisdom and the discernment that you're going to give Joe this weekend. In Jesus' name, we're going to hear the good testimonies come Tuesday night. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Y'all believe that? Joe's going to have a wonderful time with his sister, in-law, and his son. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else?
Thank you, Michael.
Okay, Joe. You'll be fine if she can understand you. I'm just saying. I'm sure she can, Joe, because she speaks the same language. And that's good.
I'll pray
Pray.
for that.
Okay, Joe. All right. Well, pray for me, Joe, so I can understand too. All right, Ben, go ahead.
I'd like to pray,
All
add
right.
on to that prayer. Lord Father God, I just thank you for all of your promises and your word. Can't precisely remember where they are, Father, but I know that they're in your word, Father, that you are protecting our families. Thank you, Father,
Yes.
for watching over all of our family members and bringing them all into the kingdom. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Thank you, Father, for giving us the faith to believe that. Thank you, Father, for helping us move forward and walking and believing that. Lord Father God, let us continue to be a good testimony unto you for our family members. And Father, let us continue to show your fruits and your labors in our life. Keep us as an honorable vessel towards our family members, to be weak to the weak when we need to be, but to be bold in the faith when we have to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
Just a amen to all the prayers for Joe and his family. And Lord, just pray that your Holy Spirit would be there and that you would enlighten Frida's eyes if she's got questions and Joe's son has questions and wants to be baptized. Lord, just pray the power of your Holy Spirit be upon Joe and your anointing and your grace and as you lead him in these things in Jesus' name and give him peace and
Amen.
help him not to be in a hurry. Or try to get in his own. Well, we have a tendency, I just say this from experience, don't get in your own flesh. Let God speak through
Amen.
you and be quick to hear and a good listener and just wait on the Lord and he'll give you a mouth to speak the things that need to be spoken. And if you don't have the answers, always just, let's pray about it. You can just ask him, both of them, either one of them, can we pray about it together? And God will honor that too. We just thank you, Lord, for working through Joe and moving through him and giving him boldness and courage and faith and enlightenment where he needs. And you already know how this is going to turn out, Lord. And we just would thank you in advance for a wonderful testimony of Joe's family coming into the kingdom and to be part of our family. In Jesus' name. I have just
Amen.
a small prayer request. My egg lady, Rachel, was supposed to bring me eggs today, and I texted her and found and asked her if she was still going to be able to swing by if I was going to see her, and she said that she wasn't feeling well today, so I'm guessing she stayed home and that she would try to be here tomorrow. So Lord, I don't know what's going on, Rachel, but I just lift her up to you, and whatever infirmity has got her down where she's been feeling well and she missed work, we just command that to go from her in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing her hens, and that they're good egg layers despite all the heat that's been going on, because they've kind of slowed down a little bit. And I'm not the only one that gets eggs from them, so I know there's other people that they supply to. So I asked her last week to get something the first of this week. So, Lord, so thank you for your provision in that, and blessing me with Rachel and these farm fresh eggs, and that she's been really accommodating to me. And I just want to bless her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I bind up any anxiety or fear in Joe from this weekend's meeting too, Lord. And I thank you. He's going to be confident because God's with him and walking with him, and the Holy Spirit's going to be talking through him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. I know it's going to be a wonderful meeting. Go ahead, Ben.
Lord, Father God, Joe also mentioned that she's going to be looking at the website. Father God, there's a lot of eye-opening teachings there, Father. We just pray that she keeps an open mind, that you have the mind of Christ in her, Father, that she sees that these are anointed teachings, and that she's not going to have any weird thoughts or be scared of any of the teachings, Father. Father, let her just see the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus, and that all these things that are happening in the world are happening for a reason, and that that's what's guiding her is your spirit, just away from the world and close to God, and that these teachings are the teachings that are true. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay, anybody else got a prayer? Amen. Okay. Boy, y'all go ahead, Andrew.
Tomorrow I'm going for a dinner with family, by my brothers and sisters from my parents and their in-laws, and we're going to the restaurant. So I pray about that, Lord, that you would you would take away all religious spirits and all tension, Father, and that everything would go well tomorrow for this belated anniversary, 50th anniversary for my sister and brother-in-law. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Y'all ready for some praise and worship? Okay. You ready, Julie?
Yes, sir. Did you give me share? Thanks.
You got it.
Okay, thank you. I played this song right before the outreach today, so it was fresh in my mind. Thank you.
many of you guys are thankful for the blood of Jesus? So grateful for his blood.
I walk in authority.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, we do. We give him praise. Glory be to God. We're all overcomers. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Hey, you know, something hit me today. No, it didn't hit me physically. A thought came to my head to ask this question tonight. How do you read the Bible? That's a pretty simple question. Well, I know with your eyes, but something that hit me some time ago is this. And I saw this online also, and it made me start doing it. And that is reading the Bible as if it was a personal message to me from God. A personal message to me from God. And everything, well, that's good. Yeah, Joe, ask for wisdom first. But when you read it as a book, just a normal book, you skip over a lot of things because you've already read it once before and you know that part of it. But when you read it, when I started reading it, like God was speaking to me personally, not to y'all, but to Michael. And when I started reading it like that, it started becoming a, how can I say it, personal message from God to me. Now, I don't know how y'all react to that, but that's just the way what happened to me. And I keep on reading it like it, Old or New Testament, makes no never mind. So how y'all read it? And what that does to me, it gets me excited when I get into those promises. And all the things that God is saying about me and who I am and the creation and all the promises he's given us, you know. Glory to God, God's given me that. You know, that kind of a response. And you get excited when you start. I don't know about y'all, but I do. Yeah, Julie.
Sorry, I was trying to do too many things at the same time. I think
Can't
I shared
chat.
My testimony. What?
Never mind, go ahead.
I think I've shared my testimony, part of my testimony, when I first got saved and I started reading the Bible. I told the Lord that, you know, it's like, because when I was a kid and I had a Bible and I went to, you know, Sunday school and all that stuff, I really didn't understand what I was reading, so I had no interest in reading it because I thought it was too hard. So, you know, I just didn't read my Bible. You know, I just didn't. And so I told the Lord, I said, well, Lord, you know my mind and you know that I don't know, understand. It's too hard for me. I said, you made me, you made my mind. I asked him to make me to understand his word. And then when we start reading the Proverbs and stuff, that was, you know, in the first, I don't know, I think five chapters or so, four, five, six chapters about just that is crying out for wisdom and asking for understanding and knowledge and all that thing. So that was a lot of my prayer. It's like every time I would ask the Lord, give me understanding and give me wisdom and help me understand what your word says to me. And I would pray that a lot. So because how can we receive a lot of the things Jesus said and the Apostle Paul wrote in the Old Testament, all these things, just, you know, it's way over my head. And the things that Jesus spoke were pretty radical. And it's like, what does that mean? You know? And so it's just, so, you know, but he wrote it. And that's like you said, you know, you wrote it for us to read. And if I'm your child, I want to know what it means. I want to understand what you're saying to me. So I still do that. I don't do it as frequently, and I probably should, because the One scripture was coming to my mind, Michael, when you were asking that, was in James 1:21. The first part says, "Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." And meekness is, in a sense, a lot of it is humility, lowliness, and just like, okay, well, who am I? And I don't know nothing. And you really do need to help me receive your word and implant it, which in my heart, the seed, right? Implant in my soul, the word. Anyhow, that's what was coming to me, Michael.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, Michael, when you said some when you first started talking about how you the Lord kind of put something in my head that I never thought about before. How about you read the Bible? I'll give you an example first. You can see a child watching a cartoon. And he'll role play those actors in the cartoon. And how about doing some life role playing of the characters that are in the Bible, of Jesus, of Paul, of the people we heard about, and to live that as something you want to be like the kids who want to be Spider-Man or Superman or something. You used to do this when you were really young, but isn't this biblical to be like Jesus? To be that role player, to be that person that you want to be. Of course, it's got a lot to do with imagination, yes, but I'm just trying to think what he said to me, At first, what I was thinking when you were talking, Michael, I was thinking that you're reading something, like let's say you take a portion of the scriptures and you say, well, what was Jesus talking about when Pontius Pilate was taking those people and mixing the blood of their sacrifice with their own blood, some of the historical things that were happening, and how to compare some of those things that are happening today, like there's the woman in chapter 4 of John by the well. She had five husbands. Like, it's not uncommon today for some women to have it that way too today, and the one they have now is not going to be her last one. You have a lot of that today in they used to have some actresses that would do that too. Anyway, these are the things that Jesus was told by his father about this woman. So he knew that when he was going to send Peter out to go fishing to pay his taxes or his toll, that he already prepared that gold coin fluttering in the water, and it was going to be a lure for a fish, and that fish was going to be on Peter's hook, and Peter's not going to throw the fish away, I was told by some people, because he's a fisherman. He's going to pay the toll, the taxes for Jesus and himself, and he's going to have lunch. So tuna fish sandwiches, I don't know. Anyway, this real life role playing to have, and I think that's really your desire. I want to be like Jesus. When you were young, I think this is something that's so interesting, because you would even have some kids that are not in full gospel churches that want that. I was named Andrew because my mom told me why. I named you after an apostle, so you better be good. Anyway, so you think about that, you think about these names that were given. as a child, and you know, and it's interesting. Like when there's a baby and you want to name the baby, there's this book of names and what names mean, and you get surprised from your own names. And so it's not just a playing as a child, but it's a desire to be in Him. We live, move, and have our being, you know. And that's not just Jesus; that's the Father too, because we're the Emmanuel of Colossians 3:3, for you die and your life is hid with Christ in God. So, you know, they think of Emmanuel something in the beginning of the Gospels, but it's after the cross. The Emmanuel really starts at that day when you were called, you know. And so it's a role living, you know, a role. I don't want to say role playing because it sounds so immature. So should you be reading the Bible with that in mind, as well as all the other things that are mentioned here? I'm just putting it out because this is what the Lord put in my mind right away when I mentioned it, Michael. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Yeah, that worked great. That part of it, you know, whatever works for you the best. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? How many of you read it like a book? Now, don't raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. Yeah. Go ahead, Julie. Okay.
You mean read a book like a book, like you start at the beginning so that you go through the end?
Yeah.
No, I jump all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, so do I. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I have this book of martyrs, Jesus Freaks. I don't like the title, but you're supposed to be an epistle known and read of all men. So you have a word given to you, not of ink or engraved in stone, but it's written upon your heart. And don't say it's not. Just continue with what the Lord brings in your mind. We're trusting in Him to do that. So that's a basic way of living. I realize that sometimes people are tired and stuff, but Jesus got tired too. So there's some really good examples in the Gospels. You know, Jesus was taking a rest there, and here and there, He even told the people that He sent out two by two, come, you know, come here and now refresh yourselves and be amongst the people. You don't have to be on guard, you know, and you can refresh yourselves and be at rest in a place where there's people in Christ, you know, and if living is the word of God and active, we need the activity of this word. We need the acts. We need that garment to walk in, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, it almost sounds like He's telling you to put on a costume like Jesus and to live that way and to walk that way. So, and you know, you can read, like, let's say you read a proverb a day, and there was a time you remembered where you couldn't assemble this word at all, and like Julie was saying, you know, it's too hard for me to understand. But you come to the place where you start to get the answers and you get the understandings. But I think you got to go that step further, where you want this to be the life that comes out of you, to be the role playing, the role living of Jesus through us, and to show forth this by the blood of the Lamb, to have a spiritual, what are they doing, a blood transfusion, you know, to be part of Jesus and to live it by the Spirit, because people are, you know, people think you're weird when you talk to them on the street, you know, just talking to them nicely, and they, what do you want? You know, you're too old to talk to me, or you know, I went to the store today and there was one of these French fry wagons there, and there was a guy, maybe older or my age, you know, and it was like he was caught off guard that someone would even talk, you know, and it's just weird the way some people are, you know, that they, you know, you got to be able to. I had more trouble talking to the guy at the bus stop when I was coming back, because he was just a young fella. I felt a lot easier talking to the guy who was closer to my age. Anyway, it's just something you need practice with. The practice, his presence, we used to talk about that a lot. And, you know, Psalm 16:11, you know, thou wilt show me thy path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand thy pleasures forevermore. You know, you can take that to a church, and they'll hear you because it's a word they'll give you. But, you know, what's the right hand doing 900 years before Christ in this psalm? What did it mean back then, you know? And I don't, I know that to be to the right, what it means for us today with Christ, but what did it mean to be to the right to these Old Testament people, you know? And would they, could they understand what the right hand now is, you know, just because of the concepts of the, especially those Jewish people that have been around so many of these Europeans, you know, and some of the practices that used to be done and there. Anyway, praise and glory to God.
Amen. Yeah, I think that if people, I'm talking to people out there now, I think that if people would take it as a personal message from God to you each time you read it and understand that he's talking to you in that first person way, that you'll get more excited with it than you would if you just read it to read it. And then I also try to read it out loud when I can. And I'll do that so I can hear it also. Hear the word and read it all at the same time. And I think that helps your retaining value a lot. Not that you need it, because you got the Holy Spirit to bring it to your remembrance. But it helps, I believe. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, we were talking earlier about how people are subjected to the words that are coming out of all these different areas now. And what has happened in this generation, that has this last generation, and what we saw of these people in college and these interviews that were done, how they were affected by not that the word has a spirit behind it, whether it's on the light or on the darkness, you know, and, you know, there's a role playing here that happens automatically, but also happens manually, I think, too. You know, like you just like a car could be manual or automatic. You know, I never understand why people want manual cars. You know, it's just too much work. Especially like when you're old, you put it in gear automatic, you're going, it's in drive, you know. That's just a statement anyway. And God's sovereign, you know, and you want to be on the correct side of his sovereignty, you know, just like the title of Sovereign God book is. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? How you read the Bible, Missy? With your eyeballs?
Yeah, with my eyeballs. Well, I've been getting in the habit of reading it out loud because I know, like, you use your eyes and your mouth and your ears, and I believe the more faculties you, more of your faculties you use, the more it gets into you. And plus, you're using your mind, of course, if you're reading it. But it's like your mind is processing all of that, you know, with your eyes, your ears, and your mouth. And I just think it gets into you more, and it helps me, if I'm reading it out loud, it helps my mind stay more focused on it. Because it's like if I'm not reading it out loud, you know, you can kind of like drift off, you know, like your mind goes somewhere else, you know. I don't know. It just helps me focus more. And yeah, when I read it, you know, especially certain things that I come across, you know, I'm impressed, you know, to read it for myself personally, you know. And you know, and pray the word, pray it as I'm reading it, you know, depending on what it is, you know. I like to practice more often, just thinking about it as being, you know, I'm sure we've all heard many people say that the Bible is God's love letter to you, you know, and, you know, it's like a thought just came to me, you know, I thought of that verse. There's a verse, I think it's in Psalm 139, and there's other places says similar about that, that God's thoughts about us are more than the sands of the sea. And if you think about that, it just, you know, occurred to me, all of God's word or God's thoughts about us, his speaking to us, you know, like you're saying, him personally speaking to you. So anyway, so that's what my thoughts are and what goes through my mind, you know. And yeah, definitely asking the Lord to help me to understand it, you know, and giving me wisdom and stay focused on it and show me things that I've never seen before, you know.
You know, when you do, like you were talking about reading it out loud, those things you hadn't missed before, you seem to come across them, or at least it does for me, come across them easier by reading it out loud. Oh, gosh, yeah, I remember that, you know, and it comes out. Yeah, that's cool. And you can claim it, you know. That's I like to do it myself that way, is read it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Julie, are you through, Missy?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Julie.
Just something Missy said that about praying the scriptures. And I remember when I first was learning how to do that and personalizing those prayers, like reading something in I don't know, Proverbs or the Psalms or something like that. It wasn't necessarily a prayer, but it was something, it's like that I wanted that, and learning how to personalize it and using those words and asking God for it for myself or for somebody that I knew or whatever. So that was really, really helpful to learn how to do that. And you know, and that was something that was a gift too, that you know, the Lord was teaching me how to do that. I had some help, you know, it was one of the Bibles, it was an independent Bible study thing I was doing, but she was teaching how in the study, teaching how to pray it, and just like, now this is the prayer. I think it was like Psalm 119. This is the prayer. Now personalize it for yourself and claim it, kind of thing. And so that was encouraging, and I need to, you know, we all need to do that, and even do it more often, and not just read it. But there's so many, I mean, God's word is alive, so you can do so much work, you know, with it as you're reading it, because God will speak something specifically to you, and He'll even bring back. He did this for me recently, the other day when I was in a trial for something, and He. You know, I was not anxious, but you know, just stuff was coming on me from the enemy. And he would just bring back a scripture, and then he brought something back to my remembrance that this was very similar situation to what I had to deal with at work. And I'm like, yeah, thank you. I needed to hear that. You know, so it was, he knows how to do that. He knows what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what your battle is. And so he is the counselor. He is the spirit within us. It's his life in us, and he is helping us along the way. And he's with us in the trouble and the battles and the uncertainties. And you know, he wants to meet our needs, and he wants to encourage us, and he wants to have that engagement, that personal one-on-one, even if it's not in deep meditation and prayer. It's just knowing what was going through my mind and what I was struggling with, he knew exactly what I needed to settle me down. You know, so that's our personal father. You know, so it's an awesome thing that we have. Amen.
Amen. All right, Andrew.
You know, something what Julie just was talking about, you know, for some reason. You know, when you want to get employed, you fill out a resume. But you want God to fill out your resume. You want that, you know, and that's an interesting idea to think about when you are reading the Bible, that you want what's on their resume to be on your resume. You know, I know you guys who worked for a while had to make these resumes, and you really didn't have too much to put on there for your first job. But when you got some experience there, you know, you're trying to describe yourself to this person, why you want to be hired. But you know, I never thought of putting. I don't know if you want to do that now, putting Christianity on your resume, but I did on mine, and they managed to hire me. So anyway, you know, because they like to know what you do in your spare time too, you know. So, anyways, to be that living resume, you know, to have more things added to you on it. Because you've been through so much, you know. You can even pray about, what were you doing with me, Lord, before I was saved? Were you not drawing me there at all? You know, and of course he's going to show you those days when he drove you, when he kept you stable for the future, you know, till you were called by him. and saved and born again? And does he stop drawing you, or does he draw you even more? So he's filling out your resume. You know, two talents to 100% more, or five to five more, and even a sixth one, because you learn from other people's mistakes, I guess. So, you know, it just dawned on me. I'm just making a comment when Julie was speaking there. Praise God.
Amen. Okay, Debbie.
I have to use my finger on this because this thing's not working. I think the battery's dead. But, sorry. All right. Kind of like something that Missy shared. So, and I like to read it out loud also. I might have to read it out loud so I can retain better, so much better, and take it in better. If I read silently, my mind goes off, so I just have to, that's why I have to do that. And but I always like to ask him to, something like this. I'll just say, okay, Lord, just lead me to where you, what you want to tell me today. What do you think I need today, Lord? So I trust him for what I need. And sometimes if I really know what I need, like I'm in anxiety or something and over some things, I'll just ask him to just, Lord, just give me comforting words of faith and words of comfort. Help me to trust in you for whatever it is you give me. And he always does it. Even in the Old Testament, if I turn to the Old Testament, if I'm not reading through, like I'm not following in a book or something, I'll just ask him that. I'll just turn somewhere, like we do with a random verse that you know. And it's always something that I need, always. So I just, you know, I just come to the word as it being what I need, and he knows what I need, and I just trust that's what I'm going to get, and I always do. So it's a blessing, and it'll be, you know, other, also for others, also be able to praying what I read, also for myself, and using it and praying for needs for others. But I like to ask him to first to, or what do you want to speak to me today? So he always blesses me. His word, of course, blesses us all. Anyway, thank you. That's it.
Okay. Go ahead, Patrick.
I was, I kind of have the advantage or the blessing of driving a long distance to work, because I can listen to messages and one thing I've kind of learned to do is listen to my e-sword and listen to, say, books. You know, just pick a book of Daniel or Ezekiel or whatever, and start from the beginning and just let it play all the way through. And I used to, way back when, I used to create, or, you know, I had the motivation, I guess, to read the Bible in kind of a systematic process of, you know, like 10 chapters a day and, you know, whatever, with the goal of reading all the way through the Bible in 1 year. And through that process, even though, you know, you went through times where, you know, I don't feel like doing that, I don't feel like reading all that, or, you know, it's, I gotta knock that out of the way before I can read what I want, you know, type thing. But the interesting thing about it is it gave you kind of an overview of everything in the Bible. And then you could go back and think about certain things that you know, that you saw, or that, you know, tweaked your curiosity, etc. But so I think there's a couple ways to read the Bible. You know, one is, you know, go through and consume a lot, you know, a lot of territory, you know, read a whole book or read, you know, a lot, just go through and try to get the whole thought or the whole, you know, theme of the book or something like that. And then there's the stop, pick out that particular verse that the Lord kind of highlighted in your mind and go through and read it, think about it. What does this mean? You know, kind of, you know, break it down a little bit in your mind so that you can understand it. And unfortunately, I don't know if it's unfortunate or not, but in my later years here, it seems like I have drifted more to that later type of reading where you'll go through and just hit a verse or two and study and think about that, as opposed to reading large sections of the word. But I think probably both are necessary. Kind of think of the example of the cow, you know, they're grazing in the field all day long, you know, eating everything. And then later on in the afternoon, in the cool of the shade or whatever, then they're, you know, they are meditating on that word, so to speak. They chew their cud, you know, they bring that food back up and out of their stomach and chew on it and continue to chew, etc. So there's probably a couple different ways of reading the word, you know, or a few. But anyway, I think ultimately it all goes back, listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to his guidance. Pray and ask God to open up our eyes to that word and show us what He'd lead us to, what he wants us to read next. So anyway, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Amen. If you've ever been in Esau's Reference Library and looked at that one by R.A. Torrey, talking about how to read the Bible, he's got a few ways to do it. And one of them really struck me, and that was the young man that he knew the Bible. He knew what, you know, where everything was, and he could quote scriptures. And I said, "Man," I said, "how did you learn to do all of that?" He said, "Well, I just take a book out of the Bible, and I'll sit down and I'll read it 12 times out loud in one sitting." Now think about Psalms. I'm sure he didn't do that. But anyway, but that's what he would do. He would read it 12 times. And it took me back to my remembrance years and years and years ago when I was trying to get my amateur radio license. I read a thing that said, if you'll read this book 10 times before you go in to take the test, you'll pass the test. And I did. And I did. I said, "Ain't that special?" So, and it wasn't a big book either. It was a little. You can remember repetition over and over and over again. Pretty quick. Anyway, I knew what he said would work because, but gosh, you know, you'd have to start out with a little book first. Just to see if you'd sit there that long. Anybody ever heard of that before? Yeah. Okay. Good deal. Well, you could, yeah, apply the chapters in the Bible that way. You could do it that way. Anybody else? How about you, Barbara? We kept her napping. Oh. Anybody else? Joe, I don't think we've asked heard from you about how you read the Bible. Do you read it in Afrikaans or English?
I'm going to talk slowly so you can understand.
Amen.
My best, let me put it this way. In my school, my best subject was Afrikaans. But now, when I'm talking to anybody on street anywhere about the Lord, I'm talking in English. I
Oh,
cannot talk
really?
Afrikaans. I don't understand. I don't know the language. I learned from ASV and from David and Noah. So I'm going slowly, but I'm reading it on each, I'm listening on Esau at times when I'm reading it by myself, about chapter or what I'm going to study. Then I'm doing verse by verse. And then afterwards, I'm listening to it again on Esau.
Is that Joe I'm hearing? Good gracious, what English. Man, I understood
Every word.
every word. I understood every word, Joe.
Thank you,
Fantastic,
Lord.
man. Fantastic. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
Now,
you,
if we can
Lord.
get Debbie to slow down that way, I can understand her too. Oh my. No, I'm just kidding, Debbie. I can understand you sometimes. Right. All right. Anybody else? Let's see. This is for you, Debbie. All right. Barbara, are you there anywhere? Barbara Arroyoho. Uh-oh. She must have passed on into the twilight zone. I don't blame her. I'm sitting here trying to fight it off myself. Yeah, she could have been raptured out of here. Oh no, not yet. Not yet. All right, anybody got anything else they'd like to share? What's the first verse in the Bible that you ever memorized? I bet you most of you did the same one. Okay, Missy.
It's probably the most quoted scripture in all the
Yeah.
Bible, quoted verse, John 3:16. For
Probably
God so
so.
loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that
Who
whosoever
should
believes
ever
in him
believe on
not
him shall have everlasting life. Okay. Yeah, we learned that at an early age, didn't we? Well, I did. Yeah, Julie. You got a sucker if you did it in my class when I was growing up.
Oh boy.
Go ahead, Julie.
Wasn't the first scripture I memorized or learned or whatever, but it was one of the first scriptures that the Lord really impressed on my heart after I got saved, and he started turning my life around. And that was Proverbs 3:5 and 6. To trust in the Lord with all of your heart and not rely on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That was one of the very first scriptures as I was reading through the Bible that he really impressed upon me and really just wrote it on my heart that this was something I needed to do.
Amen. What about
Shoot.
you, Pat? Pat, is that Proverbs 3 and 5? Is that the one you got?
Yeah, it was exactly the same three verses that Julie got.
Julie had, yeah, I thought
Yep.
that one. Okay. Me too. What about you, Debbie? Where's the first one you remember?
I'm just thinking about that. I think mine was 1 Peter 5:7. When I first started coming back to the Lord and really walking with Him, was cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you.
Amen. That's a
Yeah,
good one to learn.
that it helped me a lot. Yeah.
Amen. For God so good loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should ever live on Him and have love Him, come in my. See, you can say it in your sleep now, can't you, Missy? Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe, that's a good one. Ask for wisdom first. I always ask, or I try to remember to ask God to show me something that I haven't seen before in the Word of God when I get in the Word. Oh, have y'all seen that testimony of Elon Musk? Now, I've got some people with some doubt and unbelief in their eyeballs. Yeah, he has a wonderful testimony on I believe it's YouTube. Yeah, I think it's on YouTube. And if I had it, I'd play it for you, but it's a wonderful testimony that he did. And if you knew the background behind it, you'd understand why he's saying that. He's changed his life around. He's seen some supernatural things that actually brought him into the Lord. And he's a changed man. I can tell you that. He is a changed man because of the things that God has showed him over the last few months. And he's given his life, and he's given the testimonies that he's not a very good speaker himself. If you've ever noticed how he speaks, he speaks kind of haphazardly, is a word that I would use. But he used AI to clean up his act and give a good testimony without stuttering and moving all the way around. And it's an awesome testimony. But he stands behind it, and he's actually going to put a not a disclaimer, but a what do you call it when you want to prove something? Well, he wants to put something on to show everybody that he approves of it, and that is exactly how he feels. So you're going to see that here shortly. All
Do you
right.
know what the link is? I mean, is it on YouTube? You said it's on YouTube. What
Yeah,
would
I
you
think it's
search
on.
for? Elon
Pat,
Musk testimony?
if I, yeah, Elon Musk testimony, I guess. You remember Missy or Julie or Debbie?
I have it here. It's a, I risked it all to follow Jesus Christ.
Elon Musk.
That's what you sent on the blog. So I risked it all to follow Jesus Christ. Yes.
Yeah, Missy.
I was reading some of the comments today, and for the most part, they're all positive. There aren't very many people that say that they don't believe that's him or whatever, but there was this one person made the comment that he never said anything about sin or whatever, or I forget how it said it, how they said it, but he never said anything about like repentance or whatever. But But if you listen, though, he was saying what he was saying. He was showing that he had a change of mind, and that to me is, as you know, most of us know, that means repentance. But he's had a change of mind, and so on. And I mean, he didn't use the word sin, but he that I recall directly, but you know, he was saying about he's you know how
Julie put the link
yeah
in the chat there, Pat.
how the Lord's turn he worded it how it was worded was very well, the whole thing, you know, it was just really impressive, you know. He's a very smart guy to begin with, and but my thought is he has so much in there, it's hard for him to get it out and talk it right, you
I
know.
think his brain's going about 200 miles an hour and his mouth is not doing but about 50.
Right. But yeah, it was good. I mean, you could tell that just by what he was saying that there is a change of mind there, and that he sees things differently. He sees things with God's perspective, you know,
Yeah.
and stuff like that. But anyway, it's good.
Amen. Debbie, did you have something you wanted to say? Thought I saw you raise your hand.
Yeah, I did. But yeah, it's like he didn't really know how to say what
Yeah.
he didn't know what to say as far as what we would understand, you know, like, oh, he's supposed to say, use the word sin or repentance. He doesn't know that probably.
Brand
He'll
new
come
Christian.
into it. I was sure. Pardon?
I said he's a brand new Christian. He's still learning. He just now
Yeah.
started learning. He's got a copy of the
Yeah, but I
Real
was
Good
still thinking.
News.
Oh yeah, too. Yeah. And I was thinking too, what she said, he's got so much in his mind. He's such an expansive mind that, you know, he only
Amen.
knows that. All that he has in there is what he knows. And so but he had a good way of getting it around. I listened to another one, like I shared a meeting last night, where it was somebody meeting or talking to Jesus, something like that. But it was all about just a presence. This time he mentioned it was Jesus. When I started to listen to it, it was this presence. And he didn't say anything. It didn't sound even like what he shared in this one that we're listening to. It was just so, I couldn't even tell you because of his vast thinking was in it. Just this, everything out there. I couldn't in here hear anything in all that he knew he met Jesus. It wasn't there, but he met a presence. So I just thought, oh no, he's not saved yet. But this one, I understood more from it. Yeah.
Amen. Okay, we're just about out of time here, looks like. Yeah, Pat.
Just a quick. So I think it's probably the battle that he has gone through and the revealing of the opposition to obvious good ideas, you know, like saving money and government expenditures. Tremendous idea, tremendous. Who wouldn't be in in ready for that, and all of the opposition that hit him at that time. It's like he saw the kingdom battle firsthand, and it probably, I'm assuming, started shaking him up and and providing questions or motivation to seek God through the whole process. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, all right,
It's kind of
folks.
like too, like
Go ahead.
Michael, sorry. It's kind of like to me, God needs to narrow his thinking. And I think he's going to do that, you know, narrow, like the word straight and narrow, but he's going to do that.
Amen. I believe it.
Especially this encouragement from the books and stuff. Amen.
Okay. All right, folks. Good night. See you next time. Bless you.